Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I did not watch a single second of Coachella this weekend. I sure hope a handful of very, very tweet-worthy things happened. And with me, I have...
Remember, the 3D picture is always a sailboat. You just have to look without paying attention. Oh, a sailboat! That's so cool!
And...
If you make my skin a slur, you fail. We actually like that.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those anime things where, you know, it's my guy Cass, that guy Tris, they all go around saying this something, act something racist, and they made a word called my skin. It's like, that's not a slur. We actually like that shit. That's fucking badass. Like, you
gotta do it. I'm just, you know, hoping said person got ratioed to hell. It's what they deserve.
I think they did, as far as I know, more people said that. Yeah, we fuck with nice skins.
My guess is that's all stemming from Florida, because as we all know, Florida is now ground zero for stupid.
Oh, really? I didn't know the mysterious Mr. Enter was from Florida.
Oh, fuck, that's right.
He probably is.
Speaking of internet douchebags who are taking the L and ratio, just keep posting through it, buddy. I'm sure that's going to help you in the long run. And people wonder why I follow, you know, only animation reviewers that aren't total dipshits. It's a small circle, but they're out there. You just have to be very, very careful. Anyway, here we are, episode 263. So, how's everyone's week been going?
Well, for me, pretty eventful in a couple ways, because I did some extra work over the last couple weeks, I think. I can't keep track of time anymore, so I had a little bit of extra money to spare. So, I got some cool stuff on the cheap. I got myself an Xbox 360 for $50, and yes, it works. Yes, it looks good. And I finally got myself a new guitar, a seven-string Ibanez for $170. It may be a quote-unquote cheap guitar, but it actually plays really well and it sounds really good. Which means I now have to spend a long time actually learning how to play seven-string, because as it turns out, playing six-string for 15 years doesn't translate over into playing seven-string. But I'll figure that out in due time.
Yeah, that sounds like a challenge, but I'm sure you'll be genting with the best of them.
Yeah. Those do require some pretty strong right-hand exercises to get the right attack going. Which, I'm very out of practice.
Damn. Mm. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, I can say this. But I think about the movie theater for 2 weeks since two. Well, it's been 2 years since I went to the movie theater, and I went there that weekend, and I saw a little indie movie that everybody. I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Aha!
That, holy fuck, that movie is so good. And I mean, it's too good to spoil. Like, everything I saw from beginning to end is like, wow, this is something that maybe would be to somebody like me. And I look back at the Daniels and what they did. They did a couple of Adult Swim, shows like Children's Hospital and that one show in NTSF, blah, blah, something.
NTSF-SDSUV.
Yeah. And also, I know they did a lot of music videos. I forgot they did the DJ St. Little John music video, Turn Down For What? Which explains a lot. I ain't been to movie theaters in 2 years since I saw Birds of Prey. And now see this the first going back to the previous with this is like, that's a welcome treat. Also, kind of weird that during when I stop, was that the first time? And then when I began going back, our son Blue Hedgehog was in the movie theaters. Which, damn.
Oh.
That's kind of weird thinking about that.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people are going to watch that Hedgehog movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a better option than seeing that one bad comeback movie or that one bad movie based on a thing from a certain author that nobody gives a shit about anymore.
I'm still kind of out of it when it comes to what's exactly in theaters, and I mean, like, exclusively in theaters. All I know right now is that it's Sonic and Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah. I had to go back to the theater. So there's this movie, Duel, out. It's about a woman and her clone, and they have to fight to the death. It sounds awesome.
That sounds like exactly my kind of good time.
Hmm, okay.
Anyway, as for me, not really much. I still need to get out to a theater to watch some kind of movie. Like, I'm hoping. But, okay, so my schedule, this is, the week of recording this is my very last week of actual lectures for this semester, and then next week is my finals week, you know, before I'm finally done with all this college bullshit. So, by the time I'm able to get out to a theater, I'm very concerned I won't be able to see Everything Everywhere All at Once. Although, there is apparently that movie about fucking badass Vikings and shit that I might be interested in seeing.
You know, oh, yeah, The Northman.
The one that's apparently from the same guy who made that movie about fucking the Batman and the Green Goblin going completely insane in a lighthouse. I like that movie. Seriously, Lighthouse is fucking great. So maybe that'll be in theaters and I'll be able to watch that. But as far as everything else, I mean, just kind of going about things as normal. Although I did finally cross something off my to-watch list. Yeah, I finally made myself sit through all of Wonder Egg Priority and... hang on, let me find my cigar here. I got to do my best Krusty the Clown impression. What the hell was that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You were so good in that first half. And then teenage girl AI Thanatos in parallel dimensions. What in the hell?
Sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah, I mean... I wouldn't say I hate it. It's like it did good. Then it went. Something happened. I don't know what. I mean,
I was enjoying the first half, and then my expectations were betrayed. And yeah, as far as that very last special, good luck with a season two.
I don't think there's gonna be a season two. I mean,
that is the joke.
Cloverworks.
I mean, so far, just a Dawn was good last season. Maybe the other show was fine. I didn't care for that Tokyo 24 War, which I kind of fell asleep in that. In Spy X Family, which is basically Demon and Wit Studio, that's going good so far.
Let's pray that it's Wit Studio that's keeping them in check. But... anyway, that's basically about it for my, you know, week and all, so we are now going to move on to our usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes for your playlist and mark some new albums off your calendars or whatever. So, starting right at the top, the Nihilistic Sludge Lords in Primitive Man have announced that they have a new EP coming out soon called Insurmountable, coming out May 13th. And knowing them, their EP length might be pretty much about the size of any album from, well, any other music act that's ever existed ever. So we have the first taste of it called Cage Intimacy, and yes, that is definitely a Primitive Man song, as in it's basically 11 or so minutes of loud, sludgy noise, with guitars that are buzzier than an insect swarm, a tempo that's super slow and deliberately plodding, occasionally punctuated by blast beats here and there, whole-ass extended noise and guitar feedback tangents. You know what to expect at this point. You're either with it or you're not, and, I mean, I'm not gonna say no to it. Everybody knows my taste is trash by now, so this is doing it for me.
Yep, it's sure loud and intense and boisterous, and yeah, this is definitely not my cup of tea at all. Like, This kind of stuff puts me to sleep. I've said it several times in the past. Like, this is not my thing.
I mean, I'm not even sure it's a cup of tea at all. It's more like a cup of tea, air quotes. I mean, I hope it was tea at one point. Anyway, moving from the exact opposite of lengthy sludge noise jams to more modern electronic dance pop, it's been about 7 years now since Jamie XX of The XX released a solo debut, and it's been about 2 years since we last heard a solo track, although they've still been active here and there. They did help co-produce a song or two from the most recent Tyler, the Creator album, Call Me If You Get Lost. And so now, about 2 years from their last solo single, we have a new solo single on the horizon, Let's Do It Again. And, I mean, there's not really much to say. It sounds like a Jamie XX dance jam. It's very pleasant to the ears, but, you know, pretty repetitive. And, I mean, it depends on what version you listen to, because I know there's one that's like, you know, the radio edit that's like 3.5 minutes, and then the more full version that's like 7 minutes. I listen to the full version, but, like, I highly doubt there's much of a difference.
Oh, I was to 3 minute one, because I mean, honest, like I wasn't really feeling this a lot. Like, yeah, I mean, like, I guess, you know, it's typical electronic dance form, but it's like I kind of gotten sick of it, and it's repetitive, kind of quick. It's like, okay, get, like, let me do it again. Let's do it again. Let's make love to something, something. I don't know. I'm like, oh, like I could not care about this any the last minute. I was like, okay. And then and then the whole like visual video thing going out there, let's do it again in different languages, like, okay, or let's make love again or whatever the fuck. I don't know. I don't know. It went in and went out.
This song is We Have Doing It Right at Home.
Pretty much.
What he said.
Although, we don't need Doing It Right at Home. We have Doing It Right with the boof to it, you know? Just gotta listen to that. Gotta listen for that really good bass boof in the intro. Just, it's good. This is not as good.
It's kind of a bummer considering I like this last album. You know, the last one he did, but this is, I don't know. If he's doing something new, I hope he does something, you know, way better than this.
I mean, personally speaking, if I'm going to listen to a repetitious electronic dance jam, I mean, Music Sounds Better With You is right there, you know?
True.
That's a classic. Anyway, moving on to something that is much less sonically pleasant and much more ridiculous. You know, it's been about 4.5 months. We're 4.5 months into the year, and we haven't had a new Scott the Waz video, at least to my knowledge, not since the Best of 2021 compilation, so it's a good thing we have 100 Gex here to carry the torch of Gex Night. Although, what the hell happened at Coachella? Apparently they got, like, unceremoniously, like, shooed off the stage for going over time, even though they were forced to start late because a bunch of the other acts that went before them ran over their set times, and it's like, why were they allowed to go over their set times, but Gex isn't, like...
Who came before them?
I don't entirely remember. That's just kind of the hearsay I saw on Twitter. Like I said, a lot of stuff happened at Coachella. There was that. Fucking everybody was shocked that, you know, Danny Elfman was ripped and has tattoos. Also something about the Mexican pizza.
Yeah. We can thank Doja Cat for doing something good, bringing back the Mexican pizza, coming back in May, which, thank you, Doja Cat. I can't believe I'm saying that.
We will thank you for this, but not much else. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's also that Megan Stallion thing where she released a new song, This and You Know Who.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there was Billie Eilish doing a duet with Damon Albarn. So they got their beef all sorted out.
All right. And, of course, there's Isaiah Rashad. He, a couple of months back that he got exposed because he was, well, got caught doing the Gluck 5000 on some dudes, and let it all out, like, you know, can, you know, adjust that shit.
Anyway, 100 Gex. So we know that they got a new album, you know, in the pipeline at some point, titled 10,000 Gex. And we have the latest song from that album called Doritos and Fritos. as you can expect, it's very much about the fall of the Library of Alexandria. I'm still not over it. Anyway, as for the instrumental itself, it's of course this very, you know, that kind of absurdist, hyper-pop, alt-rock sort of thing. Kind of sounds like Tom Morello if he was, like, you know, a part of Gen Z, for lack of a better term. That weird tweety pseudo-guitar effect thing with this slapping bass line that's carrying most of the music along with this very steady, constant drum rhythm. Occasionally, the guitars wild out and have more of this body to them, and of course, this thing that I guess technically counts as a guitar solo. Meanwhile, the actual lyrics are this vaguely connected mishmash of, you know, just kind of stream of conscious BS, you know, traveling to all sorts of places like Cuba, Greece, France, getting Doritos and Fritos, eating burritos with Danny DeVito. Apparently not being able to sleep with the TV on because he had anxiety or some other problems going on. Also, according to Genius.com, apparently the whole Doritos and Fritos thing might be an MF Doom reference, which would also explain the single artwork where one of the members has their face covered with the fork and the, like, the visual vaguely resembles MF Doom's mask or something. I don't know. You're asking me to make sense of 100 gecs. You're either for the ride or you're not, and I don't know. This is just, like, my kind of weird trash, you know?
Okay, for what it's worth, I always sleep with the TV on. I just turn on ESPN, whatever's on. I just fall asleep to that, and yeah, it helps. As for the song, I'm going to say this as respectfully as I can. This is what ADD sounds like.
You know, you're not wrong.
It's just a mishmash of random nonsense garbled together. It's just... it's just a little too hyperactive for my liking.
I'm still getting like late 90s like alternative rock party vibe from them. And one thing about it, I should have recognized there was a MF Doom reference in there, considering I think he said the same shit on accordion at one time. Which, okay,
that was the song.
Yeah. That was a Mad Villain song, by the way.
Yes, it is. Man, now I kind of want some Doritos. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, I forgot about this one last week. Consider that, you know, I'll take the L on that. But since we now have technically a proper music video for it, I still have an excuse to include it this week. So, we recently got the announcement that the guys in post-metal band Astronoid are gearing up to release a new album this year. It's called Radiant Bloom, and it's due out June 3rd on their new home label of 3-Dot Recordings. That's right, kids. It appears Astronoid is now part of the Periphery Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, the first band to not have Periphery members signed to them, because it's not a side project, it's an actual... a separate band, duh.
Yes, this is true. So, we have the lead single from this new album here called Eyes, and it's pretty much exactly what you would want out of an Astronoid jam if you're already a fan of the band from their past two albums. It opens with, you know, those beautifully ethereal chord progressions driven by a very constant driving momentum from, you know, the kick drums and everything. The vocals are, of course, very characteristically spacey and melodious, maintaining the vibe throughout. While the song does have, of course, that nice body to it with the chords and everything, it does make sure to dole out some other cool moments here and there, like a nice shreddy guitar solo, and even a pocket of blast beats from the drums at one point, which, hey, that's a surprising turn for an Astronoid single, but yeah, this, of course, sounds very, very just great and wonderfully melodious, and yeah, a couple months until a new album, so yeah, mark that on your calendars, kids.
Now, this is much more my style. Loud and compacted with plenty of soundscape to it, while also just sounding pleasant. This isn't just post-metal. This is vibe metal, complete with pentatonic solo shredding and blistering drum grooves all over. So, yeah. It's very good. This is the kind of stuff I'm into, if you can't tell by, my not-so-amused reception to
the other two tracks I talked about, which I have already forgotten about.
Anyway, time to move on to the next track, which might be track number 3. Who knows? It's kind of 50-50, but at least it's a fairly concise song and has something resembling a more formal structure. So this one's mostly here because of the words featuring Randy Blythe. So there's this up-and-coming hardcore band called Mutually Assured Destruction. The frontman, a man named Ace Stallings, is apparently a former resident of Richmond, Virginia, but he's apparently something of this, like, mainstay fixture in their hardcore scene in several ways. He apparently runs an interview podcast, he also has an Instagram page dedicated to the hardcore scene, he even works as a booker for, you know, shows in the area, including a festival that's apparently coming up soon. So, yeah, the band has released an EP so far, and they've announced that their debut album, Ascension, is coming out May 18th. So, of course, them, you know, having their ties to, you know, Richmond, they, of course, have to get in Randy Blythe, Lamb of God being one of Virginia's big metal exports, onto this particular track here called Spirit Liberation. And, yep, that is definitely some hardcore, all right. It has that kind of deliberate roughness to a lot of the production that you would expect from, you know, the tone of the drums to the guitars, while having something of a punchiness to them in that kind of Lamb of God-ish sort of way, still having this sort of muddiness, and there's, of course, this slight imprecision to some of the drum rhythms at play, like, it's a very, like, rough recording of things, and, of course, the vocals are the most obvious sort of, you know, style you would expect from hardcore, sounding very heavy on the reverb, like they're coming at you from a distance. And that even applies to, you know, Randy's performance. This is probably one of the rawest vocal recordings of Randy Blythe I've heard on, honestly, anything. So, it really depends on what your mood is for this kind of thing. But it's, I guess, solid enough as far as modern hardcore is concerned.
Yeah, hardcore fused with what I'm going to call 90s era groove metal. I can get into it, especially since everything sounds, well, real. Real drums, real guitars, real vocal effects, not like half of what's rotation on Octane, but the same processed drums and the same guitar tones I hear from every other band, and it just blends together. Also, yes, Randy Blythe being on here, isn't that positive? It's always welcomed here.
Yes. Yes, it is. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Given the nature of this, I feel like I should throw it over to Alex to help explain things a little bit. So, would you like to have the floor?
Yes. So, coming up this Friday is the debut solo EP of one Kirk Hammett from Metallica. Yes, the very same, called Portals. It's just a 4-track EP that he's been cobbling together over the next over the past little while. Called as in, quote, audio cinematic approach, which is basically what you'd expect when you hear the song. But if you don't know the details, you might not know what you're getting into. Case in point with this first track here, High Plains Drifter. It's not at all what you'd expect from Kirk Hammett of Metallica. It's an orchestral spaghetti western guitar ballad with plenty of acoustic guitar mixing with strings and horns, as well as some tremolo guitar and slow building drums for that true Western soundtrack vibe. You know, like old, you know, Clint Eastwood movies, like, you know, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Hence, you know, The Ecstasy of Gold is their walkout music. Hey, you know, there's a connection there. Yeah, it just builds before more of the electric guitars come into the fray in the back half of the track. And, of course, you're getting a solo to close things out, probably recorded on that $2 million Green Les Paul, because that's guitar number one in his arsenal. Again, it's not what you'd expect, and that's a good thing. You can't stick with one thing forever, and it's got me curious for what the rest of the project is like. I know it's only 4 tracks, but I'm wondering just how deep this goes.
See, you say Western, I was thinking more Renaissance fair metal. Like, that's what the first half of this sounds like to me. I don't know, maybe I have that on the brain because I got a buddy that works at a Renaissance fair in Texas, and he's been talking about that a lot, but that is what it sounds like. And then once you get to the back half, you actually have something that vaguely kind of sounds more like an actual proper set of metal riffs and rhythms, but I am intrigued, Mr. Hammett. We shall see what happens this Friday. Anyway, moving on to the last track here. So, looks like after, you know, her big collaboration with Cardi B a while back, we finally have news of a brand new Lizzo album on the horizon this year, and it's about damn time. Literally, that's the name of the lead single of the album here. That's what we call a bad joke transition, kids. Try to learn from my failures. Or don't learn from my failures. I don't know how to phrase that. Anyway, so the new Lizzo album is called Special, and it's due out July 15th. And looking at the first single we have here, I don't know what else to add other than, shock of all shocks, it sounds pretty damn great. The beat carries the kind of lush melodies and tight grooves that you would expect of, you know, 70s disco and funk. And Lizzo, as always, is honestly just a really fucking good singer and performer. As always, bringing, you know, her characteristic I don't give a fuck swagger and confidence that really helps, you know, sell pretty much everything about this song. It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it is pretty good. It's pretty good. Like it's very, very carrying that funky pop disco flavor in there, which we have to do a lot of disco related shit that's been going on, hell, like a lot lately.
This is true.
Disco's still well, disco has been still living for a while now. But this is a good track. This is a good track. You got all the, like, all the usual, all the things that, you know, that make Lizzo like. We're saying it's Dick O'Clock, which, come on, the production, like I said, that's pretty good. That's the whole, funk flavor in a pop way, which, you know, that's good too. But it's all good from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's pretty much going to cover for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we have a little bit of news, so stay tuned. And we're back. We have a few news topics to discuss here, so let's start right at the top here with the Library of Congress, a place that, to my knowledge, has still not properly archived Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters. I'm sorry, I had to, especially because they released a bunch of new Aqua Teen shorts on, you know, the internet today. Still haven't checked those out, but I got to at some point.
That movie came out 15 years ago.
It still has the greatest opening scene in the history of cinema. Does your favorite movie open with Mastodon? I don't think so.
Or have a Neil Peart drum solo?
Exactly. So, yeah, as we all know, every year the Library of Congress chooses recordings to be archived in their National Recording Registry that are of quote, culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant and or inform or reflect life in the United States. They, you know, tend to vary what they usually include in there. Relevant to what we're about to discuss, there are a few, like, classic rap albums, like 3 Feet High and Rising from De La Soul, N.W.A. Straight Outta Compton, Run DMC's Raising Hell, Dr. Dre's The Chronic, Nas' Illmatic, you know, the kind of stuff that you'd probably see on every nerd's greatest of all time list. And recently, they announced that they have added two more classic rap masterpieces to their archives. The first of which is The Low End Theory, the 1991 studio album from A Tribe Called Quest. And, of course, Wu-Tang Clan's debut project, Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers. And I love this one bit from the Stereo Gum piece we're citing from here, quote, "Future historians will have to contend with the prospect of laying your nuts on the dresser, just your nuts, and banging them shits with a spiked fucking bat." Tom Brayen, the person who wrote this article, we salute you for that.
Yeah. Now remember, kids, Wu-Tang is for the children.
Yes.
Side note, one of these days I'm going to find myself within the presence of that Wu-Tang PlayStation controller with the finances to justify purchasing it.
To go along with that, there's actually more going into the National Recording Registry. Alicia Keys' Songs in A Minor and Bonnie Raitt's Nick of Time, as well as some jazz albums from Duke Ellington and Max Roach, along with the self-titled Buena Vista Social Club album and Terry Riley's In C, along with some interesting singles here, like James P. Johnson's Harlem Strut, The Soul Stirrers' Jesus Give Me Water, Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song, overrated if you ask me, the Disneyland Boys Choir's It's a Small World, along with Journey's Don't Stop Believin', Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, and most importantly of all, the song of 1999, Ricky Martin's Livin' La Vida Loca.
So basically, the last few of the songs that we'll overplay a lot.
I hate that Ricky Martin song so much. It's like nails on a chalkboard to me. And we're talking about a guy who listens to Primitive Man.
Yeah. But at least Bohemian Rhapsody's in there, and that's always good. Now, yeah. We just need to get the Wayne's World movie in the registry.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a dream? Anyway, congratulations to all those albums. Let's see what sort of classic rap albums make it in next year. Who knows?
Yeah. Also, before we move on, Mark Maron's podcast interview from WTF with Robin Williams has also made it into the registry, which is interesting.
Hmm. I was not aware that was even a possibility. Podcast recordings, eh?
Wait, so let me get... Wait, no.
we're not at that level, Mark. Don't even think about it.
Yet. Oh. I'm just saying. Anyway, moving on to the next topic here. So, Billie Eilish, you know, having a pretty good time, you know, with that Bond theme, performing at, you know, the Grammys, all that fun stuff. And looks like she's got more stuff on the horizon, as she's going to be starring in a Simpsons short that will be releasing April 22nd, so this Friday on, you know, Disney Plus. The short's called When Billie Met Lisa, and the plot description, to quote directly here, is Lisa Simpson is discovered by chart-topping artist Billie Eilish and Phineas, no Ferb, while searching for a quiet place to practice her saxophone. Billie invites Lisa to her studio for a special jam session she'll never forget. So, yeah, kind of about what you would expect from your typical, you know, pop star collaborates with The Simpsons kind of thing. And this wouldn't be the first time she worked in animation. She helped, you know, write soundtrack pieces for that movie Turning Red as kind of like a in-universe fictional boy band kind of thing, apparently. Still haven't seen that movie. I promise I'm going to.
my opinion on modern Simpsons aside, I'd rather they do more of these sequestered shorts instead of full episodes, lest we forget that Kesha episode.
Wait, that was a Kesha episode?
Yes, wait. And it was very bad.
Wait,
you mean separate from that one where they did the lazy tribute at the beginning of the episode, correct?
I think so. I don't know. Everything from The Simpsons post 2005 just blends together to me.
The one I remember was bad was the one episode with Lady Gaga in it, which people did not like.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know, but again, it all blends together to me. So, yeah.
I mean, I've watched some recent Simpsons, and I mean, they're okay. I mean, different episodes that I like, but I'm not like going back to like, oh my god, I watch Simpsons every week. Like, no, I'm not like this. Like, okay, that's a cool episode. But, yeah, I mean, it's good to do in a short. I mean, it's better doing it in a short because, you know, that way you just, you know, got less time and, you know, work what you got. And plus with Billie and Phineas just being on the Disney train lately with, you know, with Turning Red, them doing that, what's that fucking concert they did? That concert
Happier Than Ever. The LA concert. Yeah, that was good.
And there, like, yeah, they must... Yeah, I mean, Dim and the Mouse are good friends, apparently.
Yeah. Hey, as long as it, you know, I'm assuming it's a paycheck, so As long as she's not getting shortchanged by the mouse TM. Anyway, that would have been the only news discussions that we had, but of course, breaking this morning, well, afternoon, I think, I forget the exact time frame, we of course have a pretty big announcement that we have to touch on here. So, it's been 5 years. 5 years since Kendrick Lamar blessed the world with his album, Damn. And everyone's just been like, okay, he's not one to, like, be super public about, you know, tweeting and shit like that. He did appear at the Super Bowl performance this year, and everyone was still just like, when's the new album? When's the new album happening? I mean, we heard last year that whatever his next project was going to be his final project as a part of Top Dog Entertainment. Then, of course, there was that whole multimedia company thing, PG Lang, whatever that was. I don't think he technically said what it was. Everyone just assumed it was a multimedia company for reasons. But today, we finally got news of what Kendrick Lamar's latest musical activity is, and it was revealed in the most Kendrick Lamar manner possible. By quote-tweeting a fan on the internet who said the rapper had retired. Wait, wow. I tell you, I wish more albums could be announced via subtweeting. But yeah, after quote-tweeting the fan, it led to a link on his website, OKLlama.com, with this, letterhead announcement that officially stated that the rapper's newest album is coming out May 13th, 2022. So we have a month to go until new Kendrick material, and it is titled Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
I don't know why this is something from the 1930s or something. Like, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Come around, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard to believe it's been 5 years since Damn, but I have a theory. It's a bit of a long shot theory, but it's still a theory. 5 years ago, when Damn was released, I was finishing up my tenure at university. I still remember, like, the morning of the commencement for my graduation, I was listening to Humble, sort of get myself, you know, ready for it. And you, Rob, are graduating from university very soon. Hence,
yes, yes.
This album is coming out at around the same time.
Probably just a coincidence.
Okay, that's a coincidence. Damn.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Like I said, it's just a theory. Unfounded as it may be, I still like to think that we somehow hold some kind of mythical power within the universe to make this happen.
I am personally very, very excited. I mean, it just feels like it's so long, man.
Like,
remind me, I think... Okay, so the gap between To Pimp a Butterfly and Damn, that was like, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah, like 2 years.
And now it's been like 5. There has to be some good stuff cooking.
Yeah, 5 years since... Five years since the album, I mean, technically 4 since the Black Panther soundtrack, mm-hmm. But now I'm wondering what's going to be on this album. What's going to be? Would it be a concept? What sound will he do? What will he incorporate in there? Will it have features? Will it? I don't know. I don't know what will it. How long will it be? Or fuck? How long is it? It's like what's the final album of his TDE thing? And like, is this just something? Like, what's gonna happen? What's gonna like? Yeah, there are so many questions.
But will there be a Baby Keem feature on it?
You never know. Like, we can have our fingers crossed that, you know, he delves out more of those weird Kendrick-isms he had on B.B. Keem's album.
True. Yeah, true. Because I noticed, like, when it comes to features, like, especially during, like, Damn and People Before, like, there weren't many from his, you know, from his own camp. Like, he usually get, like, mostly, like especially Damn, the only features he got on that was where Rihanna and U2, I think.
Yeah, Rihanna, U2, and Sakari.
Yeah. So, anything could happen.
Yeah. But of course, I wonder who's going to be producing a lot of this. Will we get more of Mike Will Made It or The Alchemist? Or dare we tempt fate with another bad, bad, not good production?
You never know. I mean, they got to be doing something with their time. You know, when they're not touring behind that last album. You know, I had a thought. I was trying to remember something, but I lost track of it. Shit, what was I going to say? Oh, right. We also have to wonder, what sort of new alias will Kendrick adopt on this record? Because I think what people seem to be saying is that the OK Llama thing, that might be like an alias he uses on this record in the same way that, like, you know, on Damn, he was constantly referred to as Kung Fu Kenny. Or something like that. So I don't know if, like, OK Llama is something that's going to fit with the whole Mr. Morale motif or what, but these are the questions that remain to be answered. But, yeah, so May 13th, mark your calendars, kids. Mm-hmm. And now, with all the news discussion out of the way, we just move on to the last piece of business we got to take care of here, and that is the new album releases for April 22nd, 2022. Starting at the top, we have a new project from metalcore band North Lane with Obsidian. We have the newest album from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard with Omnium Gatherum, not to be confused with the Tech Death Band. We, of course, have a brand new EP from the lads in Primus with Conspiranoid. There is a new project from Bowling for Soup, which, as a reminder, is Bowling to Obtain Soup, called Pop Drunk Snot Bread. There's a new album from Fontaine's DC called Skinty Fia. And, of course, there's a new project from Electronic Act Spiritualized with Everything Was Beautiful. Now it is time to clean house and get the...
Wait!
Huh?
You forgot one more album.
Wait, what did I forget?
Pusha T's new album is almost dry.
Oh, shit. God, all the last-minute bullshit, man.
Yeah, we get to be bookended by Pusha T and Kendrick Lamar... While the insides are Jack Harlow in Future, which is doesn't taste good.
No. No, it does not.
Yeah. It's like, at least the bread's good.
I guess.
I was fucking shocked when they're like, oh, now the album coming out. Damn, y'all was just throwing shit. Y'all was throwing shit just out
of the field. Pickles and lean in between two pieces of brioche.
Yeah. I mean, can I just get the brioche? Like, I don't care what kind of weird charge you gotta give me. I'll just take the brioche. But, yeah, now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I tend to question copyright claims on branding posts regarding Taco Bell food. Because... apparently, some music interns have nothing better to do than to do that to Taco Bell and Doja Cat. We're just trying to celebrate the Mexican pizza coming back, guys. Come on.
I will never understand Twitter. I legit won't.
Neither does Elon Musk.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Of course, I'm on Twitter, my Twitter media. On my site, mindhabitwordpress.com. Of course, recently I reviewed Everything Everywhere All at Once. Spoiler free, of course, because, like I said, you should go see it. Whenever you get the chance. Or whenever it gets the digital streaming. I'm just saying, just see the movie. Support it in any way you can.
Yes. Yes, you should. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel. So subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook, visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can also celebrate the return of the Mexican pizza. We promise you will not get DMCA'd because there are no fucking snakes in there. Bastards. Anyway, that'll about do it for this week. Just as a heads up, there will be no new episode next week because finals week. I need to just focus on that. So, yeah. We'll, of course, be back the week after, though. So, yeah, until next time, the last fucking stretch. I can taste it.